preaching to myself. I'm going to be up here just a few minutes, and if I miss the Lord, y'all can fix it. Y'all can just wash it up. I'm definitely not a minister, not a preacher, but we can all minister. I take that back. We can all minister Christ, because if he's in us, that's what comes out. Just want to start real quickly. A lot of the younger folks really haven't heard this message very much. Maybe a few times, but we've been hearing it for 50-some years, and it's still true today. If it was true back when the disciples were trying to stir people up to be looking for the Lord's coming, how much more today is it relevant? Okay. In verse 1, the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25, it said, at that time the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take along any extra oil. But the wise ones took oil in flasks along with their lamps. When the bridegroom was delayed, this is the time frame we're in right now. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. Notice how all ten of them, the wise and the foolish, were sleeping. And that's a good description of me half the time. I'm half asleep most of the time, unfortunately. But the Lord's waking us up. He tells us to wake up. Wake up, Zion. But going on here, I don't want to get too deep in the weeds. At midnight, the cry rang out. Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then all the virgins woke up. And if I can get my phone to work right. Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are gone out. No, said the wise ones, or they may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. Some people would say, that's kind of rude, not sharing. But the fact is, the oil is the Spirit of God. It's the anointing. And if you don't have it yourself, you ain't going. You're not going in. Me, if we don't have the anointing, the Spirit of God in us, we're not going to be part of the people that are be there with the bridegroom. It is so important. You can't say, well, my daddy went to church there for 50 years and everything. Well, it doesn't apply to you, because you got to have your own connection with Jesus Christ. It is a life of seeking him every day and being filled with his Spirit, because without it, we're lost. We need it every day, or else the scripture wouldn't say, be ye filled with the Spirit. I mean, that is a command that God gave us. And it's a command to bring us closer to him, to give us what we need in this hour. And he said in scripture and elsewhere, I can't quote it all, but he said that we would not be taken unawares when Christ comes. We see the signs. It talks about the fig tree. When it does certain things, you can tell that summer's coming. You know, when the leaves start changing, you know fall's coming. All that stuff. And there are so many signs. If you can't see it, you need to open your eyes and wake up, because it's here. It's even at the door. But getting back here, later, they were saying, okay, but while they were on their way to buy it, the bridegroom arrived. You know, after the Lord comes, it's too late to get saved. It's too late. So now is the day of salvation. Don't wait and say, okay, I'll do it tomorrow or the next day, because That's a trick of the enemy. This you know, left here and a lot of, you know, something's going to be taken out and left here, that's BS. That's what the devil wants you to think, because it gives you another chance. God's giving us another chance when he calls us. That's when he's giving you the chance. When he calls you, you better run. You better run to him with open heart and open arms. None of us can save ourselves. So when he's calling you, don't miss that opportunity. Okay, sorry for my emotions. I can't minister anything without emotions. I'm just, Lord made me that way, so forgive me. Okay, but while they're on the way to buy it, the bridegroom arrived. Those who were ready went in with them to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. That's just like the ark that Noah built. When the Lord shut the door to the ark, and the Lord's the one that shut the door before everything went haywire with the flood. The Lord shut the door. Guess what? When that door's shut, you ain't getting in. There's not going to be a second and third and fourth chance. Okay. And they were coming to the door and saying, you know. Later, the other virgins arrived and said, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. They wanted to be apart. A little late. But he replied, truly, I tell you, I do not know you. The Lord says that my sheep hear my voice. If you hear the voice of the Lord, it's your job to act. That's what he's doing. He's calling us, and he's trying to wake us up, me especially. We are responsible to act on the word. The Lord says, walk in the light as he is in the light. Okay, so we have a responsibility to act when the word comes forth. He wants us to walk in it. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. And, you know, the only way I know to be filled with the Spirit is according to Scripture. And let's see. I jotted down a couple scriptures because, like I said, my COVID brain. The scriptures, and this is very familiar scriptures. In Ephesians, there's verse 14. It says, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Guess what? A dead man can't get up by himself. He needs help. And the Lord is that help. We have to be filled with his Spirit. And it says in Ephesians 5, verse 15 through 20, starting in 18, be filled with the Spirit. And how do we do that? In verse 19, it says, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, sing and make melody in the heart unto the Lord. That's what we're doing here tonight. We are building up ourselves spiritually, praising God and worshiping him and just giving our whole heart to him. And he comes down in a special way and gives us what we need. It's amazing how in this service, there'll be 50 or 100 needs, and the Lord meets each one that comes to him expecting and asking. It blows my mind. You know, sometimes you talk to somebody and say, well, this is what I got. I'm like, well, I got something totally different. But, man, it met the need for everybody. Okay, but singing and making melody unto the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. Now, that's a hard one. I mean, I don't know anybody that actually does that, especially not me. I want to. And you know what? The only way we can do it is in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He enables us. He empowers us. We have to stay connected to the source of the Spirit and power. And we had a service Sunday. It was such a precious service. Jesus is the vine. If our branch is not rooted in that vine, we're not going to have life because he's the only one that has life. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you think, or if I think I can do anything for the Lord and I'm not connected to that vine, I'm retarded. He said, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. It's a no-brainer. If you're connected to him, we're going to bear fruit from the power and the spirit and the life that's coming out of that vine. And I'll leave it at that. Y'all can mop it up if it's a mess.
Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to be here. Okay, I want to share with you how I happened to be here. When I was a teenager, I thought that there is something out in this world which will give me happiness and joy. So I looked for that happiness and joy in the world. I had bad company of friends, will go to movie theaters often, but I didn't have that peace. This world only gave me heartache, miseries, sleepless nights. I didn't know what I was living for. I had no purpose to live for. It is at that time, a missionary from Australia came to my village. There, the first time I heard him speaking about Jesus Christ. He said, Jesus Christ came into this world to die for the sins of man and that he can give peace. When I heard that peace, that struck my heart. I didn't have that peace. So the missionary said, whoever want to accept Jesus Christ as your personal savior, come forward. I also went forward and accepted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. Amen. That's why I am here. Amen. Unless that missionary came to my village and talked to me about Jesus Christ, I would never have been a Christian. I would never have come here. I would not get to know you. But praise God, on that day, Jesus Christ came into my heart. I slept like a little child. I had the peace, the real peace. Only Jesus Christ can give that. Then many people thought that I will never make it through high school, but thank God I made it through high school with somewhat good grades. Then I went to a teacher's training program and became a school teacher and taught the school system for 8 years. Here, after my coming to know the Lord, my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, all came to know the Lord. Here we are Christians, and all around us people worshipped monkeys, cows, the snakes. We have a snake temple where they worship snakes very near to our house. So it was a challenge. One day, while I was praying, I heard this voice like, Isaiah heard one day, whom shall I send? Who will go for me? I said, Lord, I will go. I resigned my job and bought a lot of tracts, got on my bicycle, and went door to door telling people about Jesus Christ. Then I saw people coming to know the Lord, the idol worshiping people. They didn't have no hopes in the world. When Jesus Christ came into their lives, it changed their face altogether. Now, I had a problem. Until that time, I had a salary coming every month. But when I resigned my job, no money. We didn't know how to live. I go early in the morning on my bicycle in the hot sun, calling door to door. One day, my bicycle blew up a tire. I didn't have the money to replace that tire. Often I want to drink a cup of tea. I don't have the money to buy a cup of tea. Many times we didn't know where our next meal come from. Then the old devil told me, see what kind of a mess you have come into. You had a job, and now you say that Jesus Christ is the only God. See what kind of a mess you have come up. But praise God, we had our difficulties. We had no money buy food many times. But something, this I'm going to tell you in a nutshell. One day, a man from England, a missionary, came to our capital city to preach. I happened to be his interpreter. You know, I was teaching English in junior high school, so they asked me to translate the message. I went and it was a four-day campaign, very good meeting. He was a powerful Bible teacher. When about 15,000 people there in a single meeting, when he was leaving, this man said, there is going to be a conference in England, Paignton. It would be good for you to come and attend that conference. The conference was called The Reverse of Life. I forgot all about it. One day, I got an envelope in mail. When I opened it, it was an air ticket to fly from Cochin, our nearest airport, to Bombay, London, and back to Bombay and Cochin. There is no letter, nothing else but the ticket. The conference date was very near. I didn't know what to do because I didn't have the money to get to the airport. And there is an airport departure tax. I didn't have money to pay the tax. I had the ticket. I wanted to leave some money to my wife for groceries. I didn't have no money. Therefore, I went to someone and borrowed $50. $50 was very good, big money for me at that time. When I told him, got the money, I said, I will send your money back when I get to England. See, here it was a big conference, good conference, where powerful, mighty moving of the Holy Spirit. After the conference, I went to stay with the missionary's house. He went off to Germany to preach. His wife and three small children there. Then the devil started to haunt me. Where would you get the money to send back home $50? Who is going to give you that $50? Then what I heard on that teaching at the conference said, God is our Father. We are His children. So we have every right for our needs to be met. That was a good thought. Until that time, I thought that, well, you work for Jesus and you have to be poor. Because after all, Jesus Christ didn't have a place to lay His head, no change of clothing. So poverty is a symbol of holiness. It's not so. We have a Father who knows our needs. So I'm saying it very quickly. I took a piece of paper and wrote on that paper, herewith, I send your $50 back. I had no money, but I wrote, I'm sending your money back. I got an envelope from Pam Greenwood and write his address. With that envelope and the letter, I walked to the post office. I didn't have any money. When I got to the post office, many people waiting in line for service. I had no reason to get into that line. I came out of the post office. I stood on that sidewalk and said, God, now I am in your service. So I have to have that $50. So I am going to believe that you have given me that $50. I'm not speaking something about name and claim and you have even, you can anything you have. It's not so. If you have a genuine need, our God is able to meet that. That's all I'm saying. I lifted my envelope like this and Lord, I thank you for that $50. I thank you for that $50. It was a long time walk. I walk up and down. But nothing happened. But good exercise for me on that day. Okay? Nothing happened. I came home. When I came home, Pam Greenwood told me that we have been invited to a house for food. Yes, we will go. And we went. Grace, the lady of that house, said, there's an envelope on the table. Would you take that envelope when you go out? I saw the envelope. I wanted to see what it is right there, but I was kind of embarrassed to look, and I came home and looked. It was exactly $50. Not one more or one, not one less. Then I thought that I should have asked the Lord for $100. what I asked was what I got, you know. Anyway, I went again with that envelope to the post office next morning. But then I had a problem. I cannot put the money in the envelope and send it. It could be stolen or lost in mail. So I wanted to buy some postal order. I didn't have the money to put the stamps on it. Anyway, thinking that my God is a great God, I went to the post office again. When I was nearing the post office, an elderly lady came across me. When she saw me, she had many grocery bags in her hand. When she saw me, she said, "Son, would you help me with these bags to my car?" I said, "I will be happy to." I took some of her bags and walked her to the car. When I put the groceries and going to leave, she put a 5 pounds currency in my pocket. How? I jumped up and down. God is a great God, you know. I went to the post office by the post loader. Put the stamps, I still had some change in my pocket. This was a good lesson for me. Not to look to man, look to God. He is your God, and you are his children, and he knows your needs. I want to tell you, I want to take much time. I don't want to take much time. One day, we didn't know where our next meal come from. But today, in our mission, 100 people eat every single meal, including the orphan children, the Bible school students, staff workers, everybody together, 100 people eat every single meal. 4 times a day, breakfast, lunch, a snack at 4, and the supper at 7:30. So we have a great God from that concept. God is our Father. We are his children. So we have every right for our needs to be met. Every needs, not greeds. Yes. I want to tell you that from that poverty situation, the Lord has raised up us. Now, a total of 40 people work for the mission in the children's home, the computer classes for poor people, tailoring classes, everything together. We have 40 staff workers working who get an allowance, small allowance every month, you know. We now reach out. We publish tracts in 14 languages. It goes all over the country, and people are coming to know the Lord through that. Pastors ask for them. We have made it a target now to print 1 million salvation tracts during the months to come. 1 million in 14 languages. So pray for that. Also, we want to help poor widows who come for help. We are going to make a house for that widows and destitute woman. And we want to reach India for Jesus Christ. So pray that the Lord will help us to do what we can before the night comes when no man can work. Thank you, and God bless you all. And we really appreciate your prayers and financial help to keep the work going, okay? God bless you. I didn't take much time, did I?
Praise the Lord. This morning when I got up, I began to feel like the Lord wanted me to get up here and share. But God has a reason for everything that he does. And I know when the Lord first saved me, I had no idea that he had this plan, that he had a plan in saving me and what he had before me. Because like Brother Phil said, when he saved me, he didn't give me a 5-year plan and lay it all out. It was day by day, step by step, learn, grow. And sometimes you do things in obedience in the Lord, and they look like, why am I doing that? It makes absolutely no sense at all. Why? If I'd have had my way, I would do it this way. Look, Lord, this looks like the right thing to do. Lord said, I want you to do it like this. And then later on, you get a little further down the road, and you realize, wow, that was the perfect way to do it when everything came together. Because God knows what he's doing. God has a plan. This world has fallen apart. I mean, you see things now. I mean, I just have to go to my room and pray. I just can't watch some of it. Especially some of the stuff I've seen lately. But I find when I go into my room and I sit in my chair. And a lot of times I go in anger because of what I've seen. And I get in there and I sit down and I think about it. And God has a way of changing the way I think. And I begin to realize that what I need to do is I need to pray for these people. I need to pray for these people. They need prayer. Like our brother said the other night, somebody prayed for me. Somebody was praying. My mother, day and night. Somebody was praying. And I woke up rather late this morning. I was rushing around. But I was still communicating with the Lord. But I like to keep the lines of communication open. And I talked to him about what happened yesterday, and I talked with my shaving. I'm talking about, you know, what I think is going to happen today and how I need his help, and I would like this to go like this. And, you know, I'm letting him know my plan. And, anyway, I got caught up there, and I had a few moments, and I sat down in my chair. And the first thing that hit me was what our brother from Kenya had to say yesterday. And how our we need something to flow out of us when we pray, but it's got to get in there before it can flow out. And I said, Lord, I just don't want to sit down here. I got a few minutes and just say words. I want something to happen. I want it to be effective. I want life to flow out of this. That not only, as we've learned, is going to help somebody else, but me too. I guess I'm being a little bit selfish here. And anyway, the scripture hit me just so hard. And I thought about it. You remember when Jesus Christ, he had all them people following him. And it hit me so profoundly that because of what was going to happen in the garden, God had to get rid of these people. Because when he got down in the garden, if God, Jesus had had that crowd, it would have never happened the way the Lord wanted it to. It would have been like Peter wanted to do. He would have wanted to start a fight. So the Lord had to get rid of all these people that was following, thousands of people. So he turned to them. Jesus was a man that had to walk by faith just like us. He plowed the road that we went down. He made it a way. He did it in obedience to the Father. And I don't believe he had a 5-year plan either. I believe he was a man to walk by faith. He could not have said, I overcame the world, if he did not go the way that we had to go. He could not have said that. I believe the devil, his whole plan in trying to trip him up with turning that bread into stones was so when Jesus Christ said that, he would say, no, you didn't. You took it upon yourself to feed yourself. Instead, they have to wait till you provide it. I don't know if Jesus Christ knew all that was going to happen in his future if he walked like me and you do. But he was in tune with God the Father. He was in tune with God the Father. He said, all I do is what the Father shows me. I believe he walked by faith day by day. He got what he needed every day. He had to trust God in a lot of things. I wonder how many evangelists today would have turned to thousands of people and said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you'll have no life in you. He did it, and they turned and walked away. God's plan in motion, because God needed to get them out of there. Because they was going to be in the way for what his plan was later on. So, if I want life to flow out of me that can help others, then I won't have to learn to eat his flesh and drink his blood. I won't have to learn willfully to lay down upon the cross that I bear because I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live in the faith in the Son of God. He gave his life for me because he loved me. Eating his flesh and drinking his blood comes in willful, godly obedience to Jesus Christ. And a lot of times in my life, it's doing what I don't want to do. It's going where I don't want to go. And it's saying what I don't want to say. Because I tell you something, folks, I don't like being up here. I don't like it. But I have no choice. If the Lord wants me to get up here and bomb and die, that's his business. My business is to be obedient and get up here and walk in the light that he has given me. And as I do that, life is going to flow out of me. Life is going to flow out of you. And it's going to help people. Because the only Jesus Christ that most people are ever going to see in this life is going to be the Jesus that flows out of Christians, godly people, people in obedience, people doing what they don't want to do. I tell you what, when the Lord has come to me and asked me to do something, 99.9% of the time, it's inconvenient. It's inconvenient. It goes against my plan. I'll just be honest with you. When the Lord saved me, and he had all of these Christian programs lined up, I graduated from one and went to another one. I had no idea what kind of plan the Lord had for me, but I started catching on, and I didn't like it. This brother, the Lord came to him, and he said, I'll go. I was like, I ain't doing it. Not me. You got the wrong one. When I saw what the Lord was doing, in fact, I turned the people that was asking me to help, I turned them down twice, and the third time, they shanghaied me. The Lord shanghaied me. And I always felt like I got shanghaied. Because one of the things that you do, I brought nothing to the table. Ignorant, uneducated for the moment. I didn't know how to talk to people. Had nothing to offer. I was like, Lord, are you kidding me, God? My biggest problem was I didn't even like people. And I said, Lord, you got to love people to do this. Just like the sister shared with us. I was sitting over there and I was, daggone, I don't know how many times I went in prayer. I said, I'm going to talk to the Lord. When I saw the direction the Lord was pulling me into, I was like, oh, no. Oh, no, not me. But I said, in this prayer meeting, I'm going to lay it out to the Lord and I'm going to explain to him, not me, I'm getting out of this. And I lie not when I tell you, I would get to praying. And that would come out, and I would be, Lord, give it to me. And in my mind, I would be going, that ain't what I want to say. Give it to me. And gradually, as things went on, he did. Because I learned to love them guys, even though they were hard-headed. I learned to love them guys. I still do. My heart goes out to them people that are struggling with drugs and alcohol. I do. What a load to bear, struggling with drugs and alcohol. I know it well. When the brother was talking about drugs and alcohol, I can relate. Of course, I never ended up in no morgue. At least I don't remember it anyway. But if everything the Lord ever asked me to do, I just had to close my eyes and say, Lord, I'm doing it because you told me to. And not one time. I'm just here to tell you, not one time, not ever, has the Lord ever let me down. Amen. Not once. He was faithful regardless. Really, all God really needs, because he has everything, is somebody with him to believe and to trust him. You don't have to have anything else. You don't need to go to the seminar school, but if you can, praise God. I went to several schools. I learned something at every one of them. I was saved in a secular program, but the Lord had a reason for that, because he wanted me to know something that I was going to need as I went forward. And that is, Jesus Christ can save you anywhere. Anywhere. It don't have nothing to do with a place. It has to do with a heart and a connection. There has to be a connection. There has to be a reality made real in your heart and who you are in the presence of and who he is. My son and I, we went to for a Father's Day dinner last Saturday, and we went to a restaurant in Fayetteville. And a guy stood up in the restaurant. He stood up and he told us about Jesus Christ in the restaurant. And then he told us what Jesus Christ had done for him. And then he told us what Jesus Christ could do for us. Right there. I will tell you what, God's got people out there. The devil's at work, but the Lord is too. He's at work. And he's not going to lose one of us. But I pray that you do just like JP said last night at the end of the service. Boy, that was the cherry on the cake. If you fear death, boy, that's a good thing. Because you can nail that thing down today. You can nail it down today. And you can take the little bit of faith that you have right now, because it don't take a lot. And you can lift your heart to the Lord and just be honest. I don't know what he's going to tell you to say, because I'm going to tell you what. God has many ways of doing it. Whatever he speaks to your heart and tells you to do, do it. Just do it. And I tell you what, he'll give you that peace that passes all understanding. I'm going to tell you what happened to me. I got happy for the first time in my life. I didn't know what happiness was. I had been a sad, down vessel. And I'm going to tell you what, when the Lord came into my heart, it changed everything. It changed everything. I was going in one direction, and I come out of that room, I was headed in another one. And with a smile on my face, happy. I think of that in Pilgrim's Progress, that burden that was on Pilgrim before he got to the cross. It rolled off his back. That happened to me. I'm going to tell you what, that's a real good way of putting it. It rolled off his back. And just like JP said last night, the fear of death just rolled away. Because Jesus Christ, the life that flows out of him, came into my heart, and it's a life that cannot be killed. You can't kill it. You can't kill it. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? We are an eternal people. We are a real royal priesthood. When we leave from here, we are going to leave from here and sit down with God. We're going to have a seat in the kingdom of God as the children of God, and everybody else is going to be standing up, brother. They're going to be standing up. It's going to be an honorful day. We're going to give all honor to God the Father, Jesus Christ. Amen. And at the same time, there's going to be honor for everyone. Every single one. Every single one. We have a lot to be thankful for. And then look, Jesus Christ has made it all possible. But I believe he had to walk by faith just like we do. And the Lord has a mission for every single one of us. And he's able to do in me what needs to be done to accomplish that mission. And I can have rest and peace and joy in him. And you don't have to worry about it. If the Lord wants you to do something, he's going to give you everything to do it with, and you can write that one down. You ain't got to strive. Just rest in the Lord. Be obedient. If he says step here, step there. If he steps, step. And he'll give you everything you need to accomplish whatever it is. You don't have to bring nothing but you. And trust and believe. Pray. I tell you what, if there's one theme coming out of this, it's the need to be serious before God in prayer with an open heart. And he can do the rest. He can take care of all the rest. But he wants human beings to love him just because they want to love him. Just because they want to love him. Do you love God? Amen. Do you love Jesus Christ? Amen. Do you love the people? Amen. Well, I will see you in glory.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Ricky said just do it, so I'm going to do what the Lord's telling me to. I appreciate his spirit here tonight. Ever since last night, it's come very strong to me what JP mentioned at the end, that after this life here, we're going to have either eternal life or eternal death. And then one of the first things Brother Tim said when he got up was, which camp are you in? Are you in eternal life or eternal death? And then Brian, what he mentioned, it's lining up with what the Lord's been speaking to me all day. So I want to turn over to Matthew 7:13. It says, enter through the narrow gate, which is Jesus Christ, and he's here tonight. He's, like someone said, though, he's there with you too. Speak to him whenever. If he's touching your heart, don't harden your heart today. Seek him while he may be found. It says, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. He's here tonight. One of the first songs we sang this week was The River. He is calling. He is waiting. Meet him here. The other scripture I thought of, which is basically, it might be the same parable, but it's in Luke 13:22. And it says, then Jesus went through the towns and villages teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? And he said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, which is, again, that's Jesus Christ. Call upon him. Enter through that door tonight. Because many, I tell you, will try to enter and won't be able to. And then this lines up with the parable of the 10 virgins. It says, once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. Like when it was mentioned earlier, I believe, about the flood, the door was shut, and that's coming There's signs that it's coming soon. The door's going to be shut, but guess what? Tonight, that door is open. Cry out to him. But he will answer, I don't know you or where you come from. Then you will say, we ate and drank with you and you talked in our streets. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers. And you could fill that in with today. Well, I gave money to someone on the street, or I went to church on Sunday. But do you have that relationship with him day by day? Are you walking with the Lord like Noah was? It says there will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. If you don't know your eternal life or eternal death, something I thought of is when the Lord approached Adam in the garden, he said, where are you? I think the Lord would ask that tonight. Everybody, where are you? Where am I? Put your name in there, Jesse. Where are you? He wants us to be in the boat with him. Something else. Just don't let Satan tell you that you can't be set free. I know I don't want to sound like a broken record, but if there's someone struggling with something, you've struggled for years, don't let him lie to you. I struggled, and he pulled me out of the pit. Struggled for years. The Lord, he pulled me out of that pit, and he'll do it for anyone. You cry out to him. Amen. Lord, I just pray that you would give people eyes to see, Lord, ears to hear, Lord. Work in hearts tonight, God. Lord, draw them to you. Have them seek you, Lord. I know you can be found tonight, Lord. If there's any question in anyone's heart tonight, Lord, have them cry out to you, God. Don't let them rest tonight, Lord. Don't let them leave this convention without knowing their eternal destiny, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray.
Praise God. Appreciate the presence of the Lord here tonight. Appreciate him so much. He's reaching out. Let's continue to pray for each other. We don't know who the Lord's dealing with, but he's here. He's available. But let's just close here with prayer tonight. God, we thank you so much, God, for, Lord, just the testimonies of your goodness. Lord, to rescue us from the dominion of darkness, Lord. Pray, God, if there is anyone here, Lord, that's been said, Lord, that they have not, Lord, completely surrendered their lives, Lord, from the youngest to the oldest in this place, God. Continue to reach out to them, Lord. Lord, there's some that give the word, Lord, but you give the increase, God. You're the one that calls from darkness to light, Lord. We thank you for your presence here tonight, Lord. God, it may be a calling on lives, Lord, that you're calling, Lord, for us to lay down, Lord, the things of this life and follow you wholeheartedly, Lord. Help each one of us, God. You know where we're at, Father. We can't hide anything from you, God. Lord, we just love you so much, Lord. Continue, Lord, to meet with us, Lord, if you bring us together tomorrow, God. We just ask these things in your Son's name tonight, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.